listen to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome to episode 225 of Rogue Startups. Craig, it's been a long damn time. How are you?
It has been a long time. I'm doing good, man. On vacation here for a couple of weeks, kind of like a workcation. But yeah, it's nice to change scenery a little bit.
Very good.
How about yourself? Good.
I am doing well. We are here dealing with all of the nonsense and the constantly changing landscape of what the fuck it means to send our kids back to school. And, you know, my wife has been subjecting me to all of the Board of Education meetings of our local school district. And, you know, that's always a real joy to just sort of spend an hour with that thing on in the background. And every now and then, you know, it's like I'm interjecting some random comment about it. But, you know, we've already made our decision. And it's like we're keeping the kids home this year. We're doing the 100% online virtual learning. There's just... You know, here's my bet. I'm going to make a prediction. I rarely make predictions on this show. Here's a prediction for you. I predict that in Colorado, by October 1st, they are going to shut down the majority of the school districts in the Denver area because of coronavirus outbreaks.
Yeah,
I think that what they have in place for those that are going back in person, like our district, even partially, are half-hearted measures at best, and it's all just going to blow up in their face. And they are unbelievably naive if they think otherwise. So, you know, until this is under control, it's not going to happen. And I really want my kids to go back. I really want them to be in-person learning. I think it is a superior thing for at least two of my three kids. One of them, she would be utterly happy all the time doing online virtual stuff, and she could be wildly successful with that. I think the other two need that in-person collaboration. So this is not a knock on that model, but it is a knock on their plans and their lack of planning and their overall naivete about what this is going to mean. And in fact, I hear lots of opposition in these meetings, and they just seem to be steamrolling it and ignoring it. And so I'm just constantly face palming. My forehead has a very deep indent these days.
I mean, I think that's a very fair prediction that you're making. I mean, October 1st, certainly, I mean, you look at, you know, a lot of states setting new highs every day or week now, and to think that you're about to introduce a huge kind of like cross-pollination of germs to kind of the ecosystem, and to think that it won't get a lot worse is I think, foolhardy. Even here, I mean, we're seeing a pretty substantial increase in the number of cases. I mean, it was a couple weeks ago, it was like 500 cases a day, and now it's like 1500 cases a day, just over the course of like 2 weeks. And
you guys have it locked down. Like, you had it under control.
Yeah, we had it really good.
If you guys have it under control, we're screwed. Like, we're not even close, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hate to say that, but that's how, like, I feel. Like, you could go out, like, 3 weeks ago and feel good. You know, like, I went to the grocery without a mask even a few times. And, like, now masks are required in a lot of, like, cities and villages, particularly, like, crowded or small places. And certainly inside everywhere. And, yeah, we're going back to school in 3 weeks. And I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go. The shit is, like, these people that are going to college, you know, universities, people are going, and, like, they're not allowed to stay in dorms, so they have to find apartments, and then, like, do you want to send your kid to school and find an apartment when you think in the same way that, like, there's a good chance that in October they're just going to send everybody home for the year? That's a really different decision. It's like, do you take your kid out of college or university because of this? Like, and you want to say, like, just because of this year, but it could be next year, too. Like,
nobody knows at this point. Yeah. And the hotspot of places like Harvard saying, yeah, you know, we're still going to charge you $50,000 no matter what we're due. And oh, by the way, it's going to be online. It's like, whoa, wait a minute here.
Yeah. When it was free. Like, it's already free. They're part of those moots or whatever, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just insane. I don't know.
Yeah.
it doesn't really matter where your family is, or, you know, if you have kids or don't have kids, there's just so much craziness about this whole situation. If you have young kids, you know, they really need to be with other young kids. Like, this is the best way for them to learn. And now they're in a situation where they're stuck at home, which sucks. And if they're like, you know, middle and high school kids, again, they like to be social with their peers, and a lot of them do better interacting, but they can't, you know, they're capable of doing things online. They just don't want to. And now all of a sudden they just get ungodly amounts of screen time. And then the same thing with college, you're paying for that experience on top of it. And you're like, wait a minute, it's online. This doesn't make any sense. And, you know, you're an adult, you know, just on and on and on. It doesn't really matter. Like, there's something that's screwing us all at every corner. This is a difficult thing to navigate, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's just difficult. Yeah, it's difficult. The emotions, even now that we're out of confinement, and hopefully the worst is past us, but I think it's moving on to like the phase of this won't be over for a very long time, and living with this like slight pressure of like coronavirus and how it's changing our lives and all this is like, I think in a lot of, like, for a lot of people in a lot of ways, it's harder than totally being confined to the house for 2 months. Is thinking about years of slightly awkward.
People are not good at long-term thinking, right? You know, say, I'm going to do this painful thing for a short period of time so that longer term I can have a better something else. That's not the way most people are wired to think. It's hard. Even if you are wired to think that, it's hard to consciously do that. Like, you know, even in your business, right? You're constantly doing short-term versus long-term trade-offs. And it's hard to do the long-term thinking when you've got the short-term customers banging on your door asking for X, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So
absolutely
not easy. Not easy. My feelings are all over the place, and my thoughts and prayers are out there for all of you that are struggling with this as well. 'Cause so are we.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of business, I know it's been a hot minute since we kind of gave updates. I would love to hear kind of how things are going, man.
Well, we have had a very interesting couple of months with Recapture. So in June, we started going full bore on our drive to add some new features, and we are going to be adding SMS marketing into the app. So there's been, you know, just the general amount of time that it takes to build something that's fairly major, and that's gone along pretty well. But while we were in the middle of all of this, we onboarded our largest customer ever, and their total volume has tripled our total volume overall in terms of just the sheer number of orders and carts and customers that they're dealing with. So one customer tripled our business overnight in terms of the infrastructure requirements that we had. And we probably spent like 2 weeks trying to struggle to A, figure this out, B, come up with a solution, C, introduce it slowly, because you're just not going to throw major infrastructure changes out there overnight and have it go well. You will experience pain doing that. So we spent way too long on this, and it was definitely something that caught us off guard. You know, there's always going to be something that catches you off guard every year. You know, if I were to go back the last 4 years, I could identify one major thing that caught us off guard every year. And this is definitely the one so far. Like, coronavirus was not anywhere near as disruptive as this thing was. And I think as of this week, we finally have that fucker under control. It's taken a while. So yeah, we had to like redo our server images and set up some proxying that we didn't have before and didn't think we needed. But now we do. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are better, but this was like 2 weeks I had not intended to spend on infrastructure stuff here and just fixing little bugs and stuff like that. Now, the good news is, everything's stable now, and I think we're going to be in a much better place come Black Friday. Like, we're probably going to need less servers. But yeah, we just had the biggest server bill last month because I had to have like double the amount of servers I normally do in order to have our old infrastructure running and the new infrastructure tested, set up, blah, 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 add things in. And so I'm glad to have that nightmare behind us at this point.
Yeah. you have like auto scaling and all that kind of stuff set up, right? So like you can decrease the amount of servers you're running if the load is low.
We do not have auto scaling, actually. You know, that's kind of one of those funny things. Everybody always talks about auto scaling, and I've known about this for a long time. But for whatever reason, I just don't trust it.
Okay.
I'm afraid that if I turn this on, that what I'm going to see is like a $3,000 Amazon bill because it auto scaled on stuff because we were under attack for something. Like, there's been a couple of times where we've been like spam bot attacked. And it wasn't like us getting attacked personally. It was the stores that are on us that got attacked. And then there would be like this surge of carts. And it has been very valuable for us to see these events in real time and look and be critically examining what's going on so that we can make tweaks to our architecture to handle that load better without necessarily increasing our servers. So I have been loath, you know, my developers have been like, "Hey, we should turn on auto scaling," and I'm like, "Hey, no, I don't think so." So I see that there's a positive trade-off. And like, for example, this one here, if I had things auto scale, we would probably be having a $3,000 bill last month and this month, easily, because it would have just gone up and, you know, wouldn't necessarily have said anything until we see the invoice, because you got to be very judicious about your AWS alerts and stuff like that. Anyway, so I haven't trusted it enough. I think we might be getting to a point where I could trust it now, because I feel like we've done as much optimization on a single box that we can really do right now. Like, we've decentralized a lot of stuff, and we've made it so that, you know, each individual box just joins a cluster and it does its work, and it doesn't really care about any specific thing. There were some things that it did used to care about, it doesn't now. So we're probably getting close to that, but you know, there's been some value in that. With that said, you know, anytime that we have big events that come in, that means that I get support calls. And there's been one date that I was out with my wife,
Right, I remember you telling me about that.
and I started getting all these pages, and we're like in the end of our dinner, and I'm like, "Sweetie, we got to go home. I'm really sorry." My wife was very understanding, but I was so embarrassed. Like,
Oh, it's life, man.
Friday night, this is not the time to do this, but it was the time to do it. So anyway, yeah.
So I mean, I certainly don't know anything, but like we have auto scaling on, and it lets us do a couple of things. One is obviously like scale when we need to. We're a really lightweight application in terms of like server load. You know, all of ours is in like bandwidth and file egress. But it lets us run really small instances too. So we run two instances all the time under our auto scaling rules, so there's not a single point of failure. And then, you know, the load balancer just distributes traffic to those two, and if it needs to, you know, three or four instances, if like if the auto scaling rules say that they need to. And that's all we do. Like, we don't have a lot of fanciness. But I do hear what you're saying, that like optimizing one thing before you turn on more complication is a good move. And I think, like, I'm trying to think, like, I guess, I don't know if we've really done that, but yeah, I mean, just generally, I think things like autoscaling and load balancers are smart if you are in a good place. You understand kind of like what some of the variables in terms of load can be for your system. So it sounds like you're getting there.
Yeah, we have two load balancers in place now, one for like the email links and one for the web traffic that comes in. And that includes like going through the app and stuff like that. So then we have a cluster of worker nodes. And we are definitely more server intensive, because there's like, you know, template work that we have to do to assemble emails. And then we're, you know, queuing stuff up to send out. We're pulling stuff off that's coming in. So we use a bunch of queuing technologies so that, you know, we can load up 10,000 webhooks from Shopify if they come in a minute. And then we can start to process them at our rate, not at Shopify's rate. So we don't drop data on the floor and stuff like that. So, you know, we've got 10 servers total in our cluster. We've got two that handle the email links, four that handle the web, and four that handle all the email processing. So װ     װ     װ││ װ     װ││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││></➪     װ││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││ that's, you know, that handles most of our load at this point. You know, we, in the past, we've scaled things up a little bit around Black Friday. This year, I'm kind of curious to figure out, I think we might have some stuff on hot standby, but I'm probably not going to add it right away because I want to see how well this new stuff does. Because now that, you know, for a long time, like every fucking night I was getting alerts on, you know, CPU exceeded over here. And I'm like, oh, damn it. Because it just
meant that
they were just totally busy and running too high. But now that we've done all of this stuff, you know, it's, I'm not seeing that anymore. So it's quite possible that we could probably get away with adding maybe one more worker. Mm. And, you know, it's funny, AWS has this optimization thing in their dashboard. And they basically suggested, we're running T2 mediums for those that are interested, but it suggested that we add or replace our infrastructure with 164 T2 smalls. I'm like, where did you come up with that number? And also, oh my crazy. God, that cannot be better than 8 servers. Like that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, they claim that I could save $167 a month if I switched over to that. And I'm like, I'm going to cause myself sanity issues and make my developers freak out if I have to manage 164 instances.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. But yeah, it's been a busy month. Otherwise, we're still doing paid acquisition on Recapture. And it's interesting. I'm not seeing that be as effective as it was. I had actually doubled down on it for probably a month and a half, and I didn't see my paid trial. I saw the trials go up, but I didn't see like the numbers in the paid go up according to the same amount. So I've backed that off a little bit as an experiment this month to see if I'm still getting the same kind of growth. We saw some churn from coronavirus, like where stores have shut down.
Interesting.
Some of those were big customers too. So, you know, that hurt.
So you ask a question when somebody cancels, or how do you know that?
I do ask a question. The way that I found these out was they, you know, in almost every case, they would not respond. But what I would do is if I don't get a response from somebody after my 6 email sequence, and I do, you know, plenty of follow-ups there. So if they're not responding after 6, they're probably not going to respond. I actually go and visit their store URL. And many of those larger, you know, especially the big ones, like that's one of the first things I'll do is I'll go on BuiltWith and I'll check out, did they move to a competitor? Or, you know, is their store even still up? Because I'm finding that some of these larger ones, their store just shut down. And I'm like, oh, ouch.
I thought it was the opposite. I mean, I thought that like all e-commerce was up like 50% right now. Is that not the case? It
depends on your niche. It very much depends on the niche. Some stores are kicking ass and taking names. Like if you were selling masks and you're still selling masks, those stores are doing pretty well. There's a lot of stuff like, you know, summer recreation equipment. If you're selling RV supplies, you know, there's lots and lots of categories that are up. I'd have to dig up the chart that, you know, gave me an overall boost on these things. But there are lots of things that are down too. Like furniture is way down. People are not buying furniture.
Sure.
And I had several furniture stores that are on there, and I've seen their sales go down a bit. And there are ones, I'm trying to think of the one, some supplement businesses are down. Not all of them, but some of them. And that was a couple of the ones that I saw shut down where I just looked at their sales and it had been slowly drying up over a period of 2 months. And, you know, that's not on me and it's not on them. It's just the economy's shifted under them and whatever they were selling was no longer a priority for their customers. So, you know, that's a bummer. You know, we don't like to see that. So, yeah, I mean, it's been kind of a roller coaster couple of months.
Interesting. Interesting. About, well, I mean, I think, you know, count ourselves lucky that it's not all bad. We certainly have plenty of people we know that it's just all shit right now. And we're lucky.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very happy that Recapture has not tanked, and I'm very happy that Recapture is still very active and still very viable. You know, I don't know if you saw the other day, like BigCommerce just went on an IPO. We have a BigCommerce integration. We just put that into the pipeline early July. We're still waiting for them to approve our app, but I was like, this is a perfect time for you to go IPO because now everybody's going to start talking about BigCommerce. Yep. And then when they get on BigCommerce, you know, I'm going to be there. So that's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
How about you? How are things at Podcast Motor / Castos?
Good, man. Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of some of like the biggest news is we kind of officially merged the Podcast Motor business into Castos last month. So that was cool and kind of, you know, it's just a lot of stuff to coordinate, but makes a lot of sense. I mean, we serve a lot of the same customers more and more. You know, we rolled out a couple of months ago, we rolled out Castos Productions, which was kind of a white label version of the Podcast Motor service, like right in the Castos dashboard. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the way that kind of things are moving is to fulfill that service and have Castos be the brand for all of that stuff, you know, here going forward. And so it just makes sense for everybody to be in the same boat there. So that was cool. I mean, it was, you know, whatever, a lot of work and pretty stressful and stuff, but now I can see like, we're not quite, you know, fully integrated and migrated and everything, but I can see, you know, only having one email service provider and only having one personal email address to check and one Help Scout account and, you know, ultimately one website, to go to. So that's cool to see already a little bit and to see kind of like what the future will bring there. So that was a big ordeal that kind of been working on for a while, but you know, getting to work on it and seeing some progress and kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel there is cool. And the response has been really great, like from customers and, you know, peers and mentors and stuff that I've been talking to. Everybody says, yep, makes sense. You know, put all your eggs in one basket. It's a good basket to be in these days and kind of go in that direction. So that's been a pretty fair amount of my time in the last, you know, month or so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Consolidation is good. Consolidation makes you feel less stressed. You know, one thing that I have realized that I've sort of been feeling probably since the beginning of the whole coronavirus thing is that, you know, there's just a lot of balls in the air to keep juggling all the time between three businesses, between the mm-hmm. consulting, recapture, and the plugins. And I didn't really realize just how much stress I was under until I finally took a week off in June.
Yeah.
Where I guess it was this month. It was July. So, yeah, I can't even remember which.
Now it's August.
Yeah, well, it was July. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, I'm not. What fucking month are we in? I can't even tell you that anymore. No, I took a week off in July, and it was kind of like a last minute sort of thing. And we were going on a camping trip for a few days, but then I just decided to extend it. And it wasn't until I like took a step back from everything for that week that I realized how much stress I had been under. I mean, I literally unplugged for the majority of that week. And that's the first time I've ever been able to do that in forever. Like all support was handled by somebody else. I turned the support over for recapture to my developers and the plugins. Bobby's been handling that. So there, I just let her know that I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be here for a week. So, you know, let anybody know that has a problem. And, you know, she's like, okay, all right. You're coming back, right? I'm like, yes, I'm coming back. I promise. But yeah, just getting away and feeling that weight lifted for a while was huge. So, you know, I hope that this similarly lifts a weight off of you and your team in that same kind of way.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's even silly stuff like, I want to write a blog post about this thing. You know, should it go on the Casto site or the Podcast Motor site? You know, it's just like kind of silly stuff like that, that like we don't have to make that decision anymore. Like one less decision is a good thing these days. So
what was the brand that you consolidated under? It's all under Castos now, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So you just have a Castos blog, and what did you do with like the Seriously Simple podcasting site? Are you just redirecting it over there, or do you still keep it up but then point the blog to the Castos blog? Or
how
do you deal with that branding separation still? Because I'm assuming that you didn't just shut down Seriously Simple podcasting, right?
No, right. So Seriously Simple podcasting has been redirected for a long time into Castos, and then Podcast Motor, we will be over the course of the next, you know, couple of months, migrating the content and then ultimately like the homepage and stuff, over to Castos. So ultimately everything will live there.
So did you rebrand the plugin in the WordPress repo?
No, that's something that we'll do at some point. I think the next step we might do is, I mean, because the plugin has been part of Castos for whatever, 2 years or 3 years or whatever, since Castos became a company. But I think the thing that we will do is to call it like Seriously Simple Podcasting by Castos within the repo, to start giving some of that brand identity. And then, yeah, maybe at some point in the future, call it, the Castos podcasting plugin or something like that.
Very nice. Yeah, because I know that like when you create a plugin, you when the very first time you do that, you get a slug, which is part of your URL, and that thing never changes, unfortunately. Like I
Yep.
think you pretty much have to, genuflect to the high lord of WordPress to get them to change that, and that doesn't happen very often. So, I know Seriously Simple Podcasting is in that, so I was curious as to what you were doing for the branding, et cetera, on that.
Yeah, I mean that, that's on the list, I think. The by Castos thing we will do, kind of whatever here in the nearer term future. But yeah, that I don't think we'll rebrand the entire plugin anytime soon. We have a decent amount of kind of it, the plugin itself has a decent amount of kind of brand equity. So I think as long as we attach that to the Castos name, that'll help. But the bigger thing for this is just all the podcast matter content and traffic, and we have a pretty good amount of traffic there, that comes over. So I'm excited about that. And then I think maybe the bigger news is we hired a director of podcaster success. I don't even know if we talked about this like job opening on the show. It's been so long. But Matt Medeiros joined our team as of August 1st.
Mr.
So
Matt Report.
Matt Report. Matt's been on the podcast here before, and we've been on his. So yeah, Matt's, longtime podcaster, big in the WordPress world, big in the podcasting world. Castos is obviously like an intersection of those two things. So it was really great for us to be able to snag him, to be honest, and for him to join the team. And we're just in our fourth day together so far, but I think it's going really well for all of us, I think. And it's really cool to see, somebody of his level of experience and type of experience on the team, because he's definitely kind of coming from a different place than a lot of us. So it's really cool.
Yeah. So congratulations to you and to Matt as well. I'm excited to see what's going to happen from that.
It's cool. I tell you, one of the interesting things is it's like, he kind of fulfills like a marketing role, kind of a marketing role, kind of a support role. But just having another perspective and set of eyes in our marketing meetings has been really interesting so far. Because it's been Denise and I so far, and we basically have two perspectives on things, and to have a third one is like, it's like two times the amount of perspective for three people to be able to bat a topic around than just two people. I'm sure Sherry Walling or somebody much smarter than me in, interpersonal relationships can give me a reason for that. But I think whenever you get more than two people on a topic, the amount of insight you can get is much more than, 50% more, like we're seeing. So it's really cool to see.
Until you're in a corporate meeting, in which case, once you reach about five, then the collective IQ of the room drops, approaches zero.
I hope we're never there, but
That's what I get to see with my freelance client, unfortunately. So, yeah.
So yeah, and it's a trip, man. I mean, Denise came on board with us almost a year ago, so it was August 15th of last year, and Matt joined on August 1st. So we're hiring people while I'm on vacation, which is which is kind of a trip. We're on vacation for a couple weeks here in Brittany, and it's trying to fit in chats with Matt to get him up to speed on stuff in between all the other vacation stuff. I mean, it's more like a workcation. I'm not, unfortunately not taking weeks off entirely. I'm working a decent amount, but it's kind of fun to be bringing someone on board while you're not working your regular schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wish we were able to do that kind of a vacation right now where I could just sort of pick up and we could all go somewhere and I could work, some set number of hours during the day while the kids and Tracy were doing something. And then we could hook up later in the day and have an enjoyable evening slash late afternoon doing something, or vice versa, do something early in the morning, work later in the afternoon. Haven't done that in a while, and certainly not going to be doing that anytime soon with the corona around.
Yeah, the Roner. You know, it's interesting. Like we get a decent groove with this. Like, I get up early in the morning. I work from like 7 to whenever the kids are up and have had breakfast, you know, 9 or 10. So that's a pretty decent amount of work because it's all me. You know, there's no distractions. And then in the afternoon like this, the kids are, you know, we're talking at 5 o'clock right now. The kids are fried from being on the beach all day or whatever. And so they want to have downtime and typically do from, you know, 4 to dinner time or whatever. And so I work then. In a lot of ways, it's easier. It's easier than like I have to work 8 to 4 when the kids are at school. You know, I can kind of work when they don't want me around anyhow. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
And that amount of time is becoming more and more all the time. My daughter turns 10 in November, so she's getting old. It's crazy.
God, time flies, man.
Yeah.
Time flies.
How are things with the plugins?
Well, the plugins, I have some big news, but I can't talk about it yet.
Oh, that is big news.
That is, it's
That's the
very
best
big
kind of news.
news. Yes. I'm hoping that I can talk about what's going on here in the next 2 to 3 weeks. But yes, something's happening. It's big. And when it's all said and done, there will be a lot to talk about.
Dave's IPO-ing. IPO-ing the plugins.
Yep, I'm right there with BigCommerce, you know. I'm filing the S-1 right now. No, I'm not doing
Oh,
that. I'm sadly
too
not doing
funny.
that, so.
Too funny.
Yes.
Well, good luck. I'm excited to hear more about it, and I'm sure everyone else is too.
I hope so. I hope so. It's going to be good. That's all I can say. It's going to be good.
Good. Good. Good.
Yes.
All right, man. Well, I think that wraps us up for this week.
I think so. And if you out there in the audience found our little banter useful, then our one ask, as always, is to please share us with somebody that you think would benefit from all of this. And if you have a minute, we would love it if you could give us a review in iTunes. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.